It is time for the Border News Roundup. Friday mornings, we get a chance to check in with Marshall Helmberger. Marshall's the editor and publisher of The Timberjay. It's a newspaper serving northeastern Minnesota. Thanks for being with us today, Marshall.
Happy to be here, Heidi.
Well, let's start out with a story that you've been covering. It's an update on the controversy over some mineral leases. This has to do with the Twin Metals project. Help us understand what's going on now.
Sure. Well, there was actually kind of two parts to that whole story. You know, back in December, the Forest Service and the Bureau of Land Management had announced that they were not going to be renewing mineral leases for the Twin Metals copper-nickel mine near Ely. And at the same time, or shortly after that, they had announced that they were going to undertake a two-year study of a proposal to withdraw about 234,000 acres of land in the Superior National Forest from the federal mineral leasing program. And that would include the land that was encompassed by these two mineral leases that that Twin Metals had been operating under for a number of years. But then when they went to renew them, the Fed said, no, we're not going to renew those. And they basically said out of concern for the fact that the proposed mine would be in the watershed of the Boundary Waters, would be relatively close to the Boundary Waters, and the concern was, you know, because of the dangers of sulfide mining and the acid mine runoff that posed significant risk to the Boundary Waters. And so that was a reason that the Forest Service had decided not to basically allow the renewal of these mineral leases. So basically there had been a concern, though, that this would change, or had been certainly the possibility that this decision, which was made, you know, very late in the Obama administration, could be overturned by the Trump administration. And we certainly have had our 8th District Congressman, Rick Nolan, has been pushing the Trump administration very hard to do that. He had met back in April with the new Interior Secretary, Ryan Zinke, and had urged him to renew those mineral leases and to cancel this study, this two-year study of this withdrawal. But it turns out that it now appears that the Forest Service and the BLM will proceed with that study, and that came out of a committee hearing last week in Washington. And the question was actually posed to Sonny Perdue, who's the new U.S. Secretary of Agriculture, by Betty McCollum. She's the 4th District Congresswoman from the St. Paul area, and she's been a strong advocate of protecting the Boundary Waters. So she, you know, talked a little bit about the Boundary Waters and its importance to people in Minnesota, and then asked Mr. Perdue about what the plans were. And he was unequivocal. He said that they plan to proceed. He said, you know, he said he doesn't have enough information to know what to do without getting facts and the science to make a good decision. And he also pointed out that he's a veterinarian. He has subscribed to the Hippocratic Oath, which is first do no harm. So he said, you know, they're going to be very cognizant of that intent moving forward, that if there's a risk here that damage to a resource like the Boundary Waters, they're certainly going to take that very seriously. So, and also Tom Tidwell, the Forest Service chief, he was also in that committee hearing, and he was pretty clear as well. He said, you know, he said in most cases the Forest Service is, you know, very supportive of mining. He said in many cases it can be done environmentally safely. He said there are certain circumstances where not a good fit. And he said, you know, sulfide mining, he said in particular, in a water-rich environment like we have here in northeastern Minnesota, he said especially right on the edge of the Boundary Waters, could be a real issue. So he said, it, you know, that's certainly something they're going to look at, is whether or not the risks justify this kind of development there. So it looks like that study will go forward, and presumably, although they didn't address the mineral leases, I think it's, you know, it's a safe assumption that they won't take any action on those mineral leases at this point until they've completed this study. And nobody knows what the outcome will be. You know, they could go through the study and decide that they want to reissue the mineral leases. That's certainly a possibility. Hopefully they'll be doing some science and some fact gathering in the meantime and come to a sound decision.
There still is a court case out there, though?
There is, yeah, and that could change the outlook somewhat, for sure. Twin Metals is challenging the decision to cancel its mineral leases. They're saying that the Bureau of Land Management and the Forest Service did not have any discretion on renewal of those leases. The BLM and the Forest Service, their legal counsel, had concurred earlier that, in fact, they do have discretion to renew those. So that question is being hashed out in federal court, and that could take some time.
Let's move on to another story. It's a very interesting what came out of the Minnesota legislature. It ended, sort of ended. We don't really know. Tell us about what Dayton, his line item veto, and how he handled things.
Yeah. You know, we thought we were going to actually have a relatively calm conclusion to the legislative session this year, and it didn't turn out that way in the end. You know, Governor Mark Dayton, at the very end, line item vetoed all appropriations for the legislature. That would be both the Minnesota House and Senate. And he zeroed out their appropriations to fund those entities. You know, and under Minnesota law, the governor does have the authority to line item veto any state appropriation. And he used that authority, he said, out of basically somewhat in retaliation, I think, because for what he saw as legislation or a provision that was snuck into the state government operations bill at the last minute, Republican leaders, which basically zeroed out funding for the Department of Revenue should the governor veto the tax bill. The Republicans really wanted that tax bill signed by the governor. There were a lot of provisions in there that they were hoping to get tax cuts for on estates, tax cuts on commercial industrial property. And another cut that particularly irked the governor, which was a tax cut on premium cigars. The governor brought that up in a press conference on Wednesday, which I participated in, and he actually laid out five different issues, mostly regarding the tax bill, but there were a couple other things, including teacher licensing. He wanted some changes, and he said basically he line-item vetoed the legislative funding in hopes that legislative leaders would sit down and talk about these issues some more. He said he would call them back into special session if they could get, you know, some kind of an agreement on these issues. It remains to be seen whether that's going to happen. Obviously, legislative leaders have said they're not interested in talking anymore to the governor, and they said they're going to take the matter to court. And it will be interesting to see what happened. Right now, it was interesting. I mean, the governor did kind of defend his authority. He said, you know, there's no limitation on his right to line item veto any state appropriation. And, of course, he also questioned if his action is illegitimate or unconstitutional, whether the legislature could rightfully zero out funding on the executive branch, such as the Department of Revenue. So it could be a very interesting court case if it goes forward. Still possible, of course, that, you know, all sides could say, well, why don't we sit down and talk about this rather than, you know, go into a courtroom. But it wouldn't surprise me if it ends up that the courts do decide this one. I think, as Dayton said this week, this kind of shattered what bit of trust they had built up, you know, over this last legislative session.
It's Marshall Helmberger. We're talking about the stories, some of the stories I've been covering in the Timber Jay this week. Another interesting story, Marshall, about something I didn't know what it was. Ilmenite. Is that how you say it?
That's it.
Okay, so what is it?
Well, it's a type of mineral. It's basically iron titanium oxide, and it is a valuable mineral, and there are significant deposits of it in northeastern Minnesota, and they've been known for quite some time, but there's always been an issue that the deposits here had a significant amount of magnesium within that those deposits, that essentially it was an impurity that conventional processing was unable to remove. And because of that, it made it really not economically viable. But the Natural Resources Research Institute had recently contracted with a company in Canada, which had developed a process for processing this ilmenite to remove those magnesium impurities. And so they did a pilot study using ilmenite from a deposit that's near Hoyt Lakes, and they were able to successfully purify this to, you know, basically commercial grade levels, and making it now potentially a viable process and viably mined ore. So at this point, this is a big advance, and it certainly could open up the possibility of an ilmenite mining industry. And what's interesting, there's about 10 deposits that are known, and they stretch from just outside of Hoyt Lakes and run basically south for about 50 miles, almost down towards Duluth. And these deposits are all relatively small. The one that they're looking at Hoyt Lakes, it really only covers about 60 acres, you know, so, and it's quite close to the surface. So it would be very conducive to open pit mining. And, you know, the mine pit itself probably wouldn't be much more than 100 acres. So these are relatively small. You know, they have small footprints. The overburden locations is not high in sulfur. It's not. We're not talking about sulfide-based minerals like the copper nickel that we're looking at. So you don't have near the risk of the acid mine drainage and things like that. So, you know, the environmental effects of this could be a lot less than what you're seeing, you know, potentially on some of these copper nickel mines. And the other thing that NRI is working very closely to try to achieve is to figure out how to do some value-added production, you know, associated with this. So we're not just mining it, but that we're also perhaps, you know, doing some manufacturing of products based on this titanium. You know, possibly converting it into titanium metal, very prominently used in paints. And so that's probably the biggest demand for titanium oxide right now. It's a pigment. And, you know, so that's certainly a possible use for this stuff. So certainly there's a ways to go from where we are now to when we actually might start looking at mining. But this was kind of one of the key developments that they needed to achieve to make ilmenite, you know, a viable industry up here. So certainly this is a big advance.
Marshall, before we go, fill us in on what's going on in high school golf.
Yeah, well, a big day here for the Northwoods girls golf team. They repeated as the section champions in Section 7A, so they will be moving on to the state tournament. So very exciting for them. And also a couple of boys will be from that same team will be traveling to the state tournament as well. They qualified individually, even though the team didn't make it. Should be a good event, hopefully, for the golfers from the Northwood School, and congratulations to them are certainly in order.
That's Marshall Helmberger, the Border News Roundup. You can find more information at timberjay.com. Marshall, we'll check in with you next week.
Sounds great. Thanks, Heidi.